Welcome to the Metal Tech Podcast, this region's leading business podcast, shining a light on technology, entrepreneurship, and the future of business in Kentucky and beyond. Our goal is to advance the ecosystem by bringing attention to the founders, changemakers, innovators, and those supporting them. Metal Tech's content can be found on your favorite podcast streaming app, social channels, and YouTube. We encourage you to follow and participate in the conversation. Let's discuss and build the future. What's up, guys? You got Logan Jones here with the Metal Tech Podcast. And today we sat down with Roger Schumann, who is the Senior Relationship Manager for an organization up in Indianapolis called TechPoint. And this is another introduction that we have our good friend Jake Butler to thank for, who is also up in the Indianapolis tech ecosystem. And as you'll hear in this interview, Roger is somebody that is in the absolute middle of everything going on in this ecosystem. He's connected to a lot of people. He knows a lot of the venture capital that's flowing around in that ecosystem. He's been in the ecosystem working at startups and scale-up companies. So it's somebody that is in the weeds helping build this ecosystem, and you can hear the passion in his voice as he talks about it. So TechPoint is going to be very similar to the organization we interviewed down in Nashville, the Nashville Technology Council. They are one of those ecosystem supporters that is focused on growing the talent, connecting people, making sure that companies have access to capital, promoting those companies that are in the ecosystem. And, you know, when we did that interview with the Nashville Technology Council, we got a lot of people reaching out to us about how much they enjoyed that. So we're really excited to go up to Indy for this interview and sit down with Roger to talk about all that TechPoint is doing. And as he says in this interview, rather than looking at themselves as an association, they consider themselves, you know, a startup of sorts. They go about what they do in that ecosystem in a very innovative and scale-up way. So we had an awesome conversation with Roger about all the different programs that they run up there, from their extern program, which I think you guys are going to find really interesting, to their sales training, software sales training programs, and some of the other initiatives that they have up in Indianapolis. So, you know, as we've been doing here recently, we've been down in Nashville talking to some players in that ecosystem. We've been going up to Indianapolis talking to some players in that ecosystem, Louisville as well. I just want to emphasize the role that Metal Tech is trying to play here in this region, as agnostic to any one specific startup ecosystem, but rather the connective tissue for this entire region of the United States. Because let's face it, this region of the United States has not always been looked at as a place that is known for innovation and startups and venture capital. So what we're trying to do is take learnings and take stories from all of these different startup hubs and regional hubs that we have in Indy and Cincinnati and Louisville, Lexington, all of those, bring them to you guys on this podcast so that hopefully you can learn from them, take them into whichever startup ecosystem you're in, and then grow this region of the United States. So we're super excited for you guys to listen to this episode. This was a really fun one. Unfortunately, Evan was not able to join, so it's just me on this one. But Roger and I had an awesome about hour-long conversation talking about all the roles that TechPoint plays in the Indianapolis ecosystem. So we hope you guys enjoy. Before we dive in, we want to get a quick word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by our sponsor, Land Betterment. Land Betterment is doing some incredible work throughout Appalachia and Eastern Kentucky as they are taking abandoned strip mines and putting sustainable businesses in their place. These businesses not only provide a useful repurposing of the land, but they also provide great jobs to replace the mining jobs that were lost when the mine was shut down. To learn more about Land Betterment, you can listen to our interview with their founders, Mark Jensen and Kirk Taylor, on episode 97, or visit their website at landbetterment.com.
We're also sponsored by Airwing Ventures. Airwing helps determined entrepreneurs seeking resources to grow with capital and connections in order to build successful companies and impactful legacies. They're all about high growth companies, high growth careers, and high growth communities. I've personally known Dan Beldy for about 4 years now, and I've seen the work he's been doing in the community, and we should all feel very blessed and grateful that a VC like himself is here in Kentucky. I encourage you to connect with Airwing and learn more. Let's all grow this state together. You can reach out to Dan at info@airwing.vc or dan@airwing.vc. And their website is www.airwing.vc.
All right, welcome back to the Middle Tech Podcast. Today, we are lucky to be joined by Roger Schumann, who is up in Indianapolis, Indiana. So one of our neighboring startup ecosystems that's a little bit further down the road. And Roger is going to be talking to us today about TechPoint. So Roger is the relationship manager there. He's a networker, a connector, venture capital resource, and just in general, passionate about the Indiana tech ecosystem. So Roger, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for giving me some time today.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're really excited for this one. We got really excited about talking to you just after that initial call when you went over some of what TechPoint actually does. And then just a few weeks ago, we had an interview with the Nashville Technology Council, which is kind of your guys' counterpart down in Nashville in that ecosystem. We talked to Brian Moyer, and that's been one of our most popular episodes here recently. People have really enjoyed hearing about a tech ecosystem that's a little bit further down the way than what we have here in Kentucky. So we're really excited to hear some of your insights about Indianapolis. But to start, we would just like to hear a little bit about your background. So you can start with where you're from, your education background, and then lead that into your professional background up to TechPoint.
Sure. Yeah. Born and raised Hoosier, originally from the northeast part of the state. The second largest city in Indiana is Fort Wayne. I'm from a little suburb that's basically connected to that called New Haven. Grew up there, went to high school, started to go to college there, transferred down to Indianapolis, and ended up graduating from IU via IUPUI with a bachelor's in organizational communication. That was so long ago, I can't even tell you exactly what it was, but I got my bachelor's degree. It was enough to get my foot in the door into some jobs probably that I wouldn't have been able to get without it. You know, that was a long time ago, but I ended up working in marketing and communications. So I have about a 20, 25 year career in communications and marketing. Started out as a director of communications for the Indiana Association of Realtors. But then kind of early on, I had an opportunity to jump at what was an early dot-com company, like right after the dot-com bust, selling men's clothing, like t-shirts and suits and shirts online. You know, back when you could just do that and make a business out of it, worked for a founder who was doing that. It was kind of an odd, crazy situation, and eventually got out of that and ended up working for a company called Integral Technologies. And they did video surveillance software. And this is back in the early 2000s. And at that time, we were taking analog video. So what you would see is anytime you'd see an old surveillance camera, usually had like a coax cable in it and it had power in it, and it would go into some sort of device to record, usually like a time-lapse VCR. And they were just awful to try to find video on those things. So our folks took that technology and brought it into a PC environment where it could be digitized and recorded. And really what you know of as a DVR, that's what we did. And it was used for surveillance as opposed to recording, you know, episodes of Seinfeld or whatever back in the day. So from there, I was able to join those folks right as the founders were exiting, or at least they had just sold the company. I got to stick around and get to know some of the founders for the next year or so as they were on their way out. So there for about 4 years, took a brief stint at a machine tool manufacturer in a town called Herco in Indianapolis. And then as the founders were starting their next company, which was actually like, I think number three or number four for them, called Exact, EXACQ, not to be confused with Exact Target. This is a different company, but I was able to jump and join them early. So I was employee number nine. I definitely should say for anyone listening to me, I've never been a founder. I've been early stage, but I've never been a founder. I have a ton of respect for founders and what you all do. And I really appreciate what you put on the line to start a company. But so I've been early enough that where I always assumed I was getting a paycheck, but there was always a possibility that you couldn't get a paycheck. So that's about the extent of pain that I felt. But that company ended up selling after about 7.5, 8 years for, I think it was $170 million. Don't quote me on that. 150 or 170. I would know if I was the one who got the paycheck. I did not.
Sure.
I got a very nice check out of that deal, but not enough to change my life to where I stopped working. But
right.
And then had the opportunity to come to TechPoint, and it was just perfect for me because I'm incredibly passionate about my state, all parts of it, and the tech ecosystem. And if I have one superpower, it's being able to connect people and organizations. And so it really allows me to do what I do best and what I love to do.
That is such an important role to be playing in an ecosystem too. That's a lot of how we view Middle Tech's role in the ecosystem we play in here in Kentucky, is trying to be that connective tissue, connecting people to funding, connecting employees, connecting those companies to early employees. All of that sort of thing is a very, very important and also fun role to play in the ecosystem.
It is. Yeah.
So let's dive into TechPoint. So talk a little about, you know, what it is and how you guys view yourself, what your role is in the ecosystem.
Yeah. You said connective tissue, and that, you know, our CEO, Mike Langelier, uses that term a lot to describe what we do. We view ourselves as the connective tissue in the tech ecosystem. We view the state of Indiana really as being our entire territory. Certainly, there's a lot going on in central Indiana, Indianapolis area, and the surrounding counties. But the connective tissue, our role is to connect the ecosystem with our initiatives and with everything else that's going on here. So we focus at TechPoint on talent, capital, connections, and promotion. I'm happy to go into detail more about what those initiatives are, because they're really exciting. The first one is talent. And so I talk to venture capital firms all the time. So let me back up a step, or maybe hone in a little bit more on what I do. I'm a senior relationship manager, and there's four of us. I focus on scale up technology companies. So those companies that have hit product market fit, they are starting to grow. And what do they need? Well, they need introductions to other companies. It could be customers. They need promotion, but they need capital. And so I try to get to know as many venture capital firms or just institutional investors in general as I possibly can, so that I can make those connections. So I have, I don't know, getting close to 300 or so that I've talked to, and always wanting to get to know more. So like, if you're listening to this and you want to reach out to me, I'd love to know more about your firm. But the first thing I always talk about when I talk to a venture capital firm is our talent pipeline, because I figure if they're remotely interested in investing in Indiana technology companies, given what's going on in the country with regards to talent today, they want to know that there are talent pipelines here. So we created a program called Extern, and it's really been the bread and butter of what we do on the talent side, the talent program. We got a 5-person talent team that focuses on this, but Extern is a college to career internship, typically for rising sophomores and juniors. We canvass the state of Indiana colleges and universities, you know, anywhere from 25 to 30, and some surrounding areas. And from there, we'll get 2,000 applicants a year. I think we were just under 2,000 this year, but the last 3 years, on average, we're hitting about 2,000 applicants that want to be in that program. And the funny thing is that even though we're only canvassing like Indiana and maybe a little bit around the Midwest, we're getting applications from 200 plus universities a year. I think last year from 45 states. Up until recently, I think we had applicants from 49 of the 50 states. But I think this year, our CEO mentioned that we finally got an applicant from North Dakota. So we can say that we have had awesome applicants from every state in the union. So thank you, North Dakota, whoever you are that applied. But the idea is that those applicants will apply. We can probably lop some of those off the top right off the bat. And then the rest of those are invited to do a like a work sample or a project, which is then graded. We use a number of different methods to grade. There's a local company in Indianapolis, I'll give them a shout out, called Woven, that we use. We partner with them to do like software, like developer assessments. But then everything else, we have industry professionals. We have all these relationships with Indiana colleges and universities. So we'll tap into professors and teachers. It's a huge group effort to go through and grade all those. And then from there, we get like from 2,000 to about, we'll invite maybe 150 to 300 plus each year to take part in what we call Fall Finalist Day. I think this year it was over 300. And that number is also based on demand from like how many different companies we have that are looking to hire and how many positions they want to hire. So this year, we kind of blew that through the roof. We had more companies than we've ever had, and it, just because of the demand. And I think also because our relationship management team really worked it, we went out and tried to find those companies that needed to take advantage of this program. But so those 300 or so will go to what's called Fall Finalist Day. It's been virtual the last couple of years. Another plug to for an Indianapolis area company called Philo, which we use, essentially uses Zoom to create all these different rooms, meeting rooms. So we use that to organize these meetings that take place. And essentially, they interview one another. So you have companies interviewing students. You have students interviewing companies. They rank each other. We have an algorithm that at the end of the day will spit out to the employers that says, okay, you said you want to hire three people. Here are your top choices that you to whom you can make an offer. And then they can make an offer. And when it's all said and done in the summer of 2022, say end of May, early June, we'll launch that extern class. They will come to Indianapolis and live at downtown at IUPUI. For those of you who aren't local, that's Indiana University, Purdue University at Indianapolis, huge campus downtown. We'll rent out three apartment buildings. They will live downtown together. So they have this shared experience. Most of them are working. Well, I assume most of them are still going to their locations and working or working remotely. And then they're living together. So we're also providing activities for them. Fun things to do, but also things to get them more plugged into Central Indiana with the idea that it's twofold. One, we get to provide great, highly vetted talent for employers. And then we get to take that highly vetted talent, which also they also happen to be college students. And we have just a ton of incredible colleges and universities within 2 hours of Indianapolis. We get to create a stickiness factor for those students. They realize that Indianapolis is a place where they not only want to work because there are incredible technology opportunities in Indianapolis, but it's a place they want to live as well, because unless you've been here in the last 20 years, you have no idea how great of a city Indianapolis is, a place to live and a place to work. You said you had a gentleman or someone on from Nashville recently, and I've spent time in Nashville, and it's similar. I mean, the vibe here, you know, like I know East Nashville reminds me of Broad Ripple in Indianapolis, and, you know, I'm sure there's other similarities. We don't have mountains and we don't have an ocean, but we have a great place and we want people to see that. And so, again, create stickiness. People will stay here. Hopefully those companies will hire them full time after their extern program is over. But if not, then we'll put them in a program called The Grid. And so when they graduate, we're going to make them available to companies that are looking to hire full-time folks as well. So talent is just a huge part of what we do. We continue to spin up new programs. We have another program called the Sales Bootcamp, which is essentially a month-long training for folks who want to get into tech sales. Could be someone like me who's older that's looking to make a change, or someone right out of college. We put them into companies where they can do like cold calls or set up demos. They'll be in there for 2 or 3 days, maybe 5 days. And then they'll get sales training as well from a sales trainer that we utilize named Matt Nettleton. And then at the end of that month, we have companies that are lined up that want to hire them. So that's the talent side.
Yeah, that is, I think, probably one of the most critical components of a startup ecosystem is developing talent like that. And the extern program is probably one of the best programs I've heard about in any of the local startup ecosystems. I kind of want to dig into that a little bit more, because I'm hoping somebody is going to be listening to this and thinking the same thing. Like, damn, why does Kentucky not have something like that? So kind of one of my first questions is, what types of positions are these students typically interviewing for? Is it mostly like the technical developer types? You just mentioned software sales. Is there kind of the sales side? What positions are these companies looking for?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably not a surprise that most of them would be technical, like, you know, software developers, product people in general. We're getting more like data science as well. I'd say that if you just lump all of technology together, it probably makes up about 75% of those positions. But then the fastest growing area has been like business analysts, marketing, sales. And again, if you just see the demand for marketing across the nation and how marketing has become essentially a technical job. So having trained marketers is important as well. So we see that area increasing. And plus, we're in a MarTech town. Indianapolis is
for sure.
I'd say Indianapolis and Atlanta, this is my opinion, are probably two of the leading MarTech towns other than the Bay Area.
Yep, absolutely. And talk a little bit about, You know, how many organizations did you kind of have to pull together? Was this something that TechPoint was doing on their own, or did you guys have to go out and try to partner with some schools to get it started as well?
Yeah, it's in its eighth year. And in the early stages, I know Mike well enough that he was able to get the right people together, the right universities together, but it has become a full-on program. You know, today, like I said, it's a five-person team that runs this. We have people, you know, I think one person's job is to just go and canvas colleges and universities. We have people that run point on different areas of the program. And then once that it gets started, we get into the actual extern, then you've got the programming that takes place. And so you've got, you know, four or five people that their job is corralling college students for 10 weeks in the summer. So that's a job in and of itself. But
I'm sure. No, I just love the idea of it. And I think one of the key components is having everyone actually come into Indy and actually live and be together. And I think that's probably genius for a couple of reasons. One, you know, you guys as an organization are wanting to have talent relocate into a city. And the best way to do that is to have somebody come and live in the heart of it and get to experience that. But not only that, as those students are coming in and participating in the program, I know there's all sorts of, you know, kind of cross-pollination of ideas and meeting people and feeling like you're really part of a community. If you could somehow make that whole program into the same thing as like going to college, I would rather go and do something like that rather than go to college, because you're getting so many of those hard skills. You know, just for me, I've been at an early stage startup for about a year and a half now. I've learned so much more in that year and a half than I did in the 4 years when I was at a university. So I think that's such an awesome work or such an awesome program you guys have going on.
And, you know, we partner with the colleges and universities in the state. So TechPoint we have member organizations. So we've got companies that are members. Like I said, I deal with those kind of scale up technology companies, but from small to large companies. So like Salesforce is a member of TechPoint, but so is Rolls-Royce and Raytheon and Cummins. But we also have, I think it's 11 Indiana-based colleges and universities that are members of TechPoint. And they join for a lot of different reasons, but certainly the talent initiatives, that's very important to them. They want to be ahead of that. They want to be involved in it. So essentially, almost every major university you can think of in the state of Indiana, with one exception, is a member of TechPoint. Those companies or those universities and colleges all partner with us as well because they believe in the program. I should also mention this past year, 2021, we were able to pick up the extern program and drop it into another city. So I definitely would mention Jen Merrill, who is on the relationship management team. She's my boss too. She really led those efforts to pick it up and drop it into Muncie, and kind of answers your question earlier about how do you make it happen in the early days. Well, what it required was getting some big anchor companies on board to say, yeah, we're in on this, and we're going to make Muncie a place for extern as well. We're going to hire. We're going to have places where they can live so that we could basically pick up the playbook and drop it in Muncie as well. And you know, I can't speak for my CEO, but I know that we'd like to see that happen in certainly other places around the state as well. And maybe even other places too, outside of Indiana.
Yeah, I'm sure some folks will be listening to this and trying to think of ways that we can bring something similar to Kentucky. So kudos to you guys for spinning up something so great. And you know, that talent piece, that really is something here in Kentucky, especially that, you know, there's a lot of competition for good talent that can come to these startups. So
yeah,
I feel like we definitely covered that talent piece pretty well. What's kind of the next phase, the next thing you guys focus on that you would put secondary to talent?
Yeah. Well, for me, it's got to be capital. And so I mentioned, you know, all these relationships that I have with venture capital firms. So again, since I am talking to so many companies that are in that scale up phase, since, like I mentioned, we have a membership model. So we've got like TechPoint has about 103 companies that are members of TechPoint, from small scale ups to really big companies, like I mentioned, like Salesforce. But the next scale ups are those companies that are startups now. So I also talk to startups and real early stage entrepreneurs, pre-launch, pre-product, I don't know, pre-idea, it seems like sometimes even, but, and then that's why it's so important for me to have all these relationships with venture capital firms. So, you know, I used to say there's like 5 or 10 VCs or institutional investors in Indiana. That number just seems to be going up every year. That's exciting, by the way. That's another sign that your ecosystem is growing when you see new venture capital firms that are starting to fire up. So yeah, I want to make sure that they get connected to those local firms, but I also want to make sure that those outside firms get a chance to meet those companies as well. So, you know, that's something I can do on the day-to-day basis, get to know the firms, kind of find out how they're investing and say, oh yeah, you know, you should talk to so-and-so. But the other thing that we can do is we can scale up that operation. And our CEO, Mike Langelier, is all about scaling up everything. He's a former founder himself and an operator. And, you know, we may be a technology association or a tech council, I think, you know, on paper, but we operate more like a startup or a scale-up technology company. And I've been there, and I've also worked for associations, so I know the difference. But we scaled that effort up in an event that we call VC speed dating. And that's something that I operate. So it used to be once a year, but this year we did it twice. We bring together venture capital firms from all over the country and Canada. We had one Canadian firm this year to meet with Indiana technology companies that are scaling up. We also, I should add, have a company hunting initiative that we've been doing in conjunction with the IEDC, that's Indiana Economic Development Corporation, if you're not from Indiana, where we're trying to get companies, not just talent, to come to Indiana. We're trying to get companies to move here or expand here. So some of those companies might attend VC speed dating as well. But the idea then, again, is to bring together those companies and those investors in vetted meetings. So not just random, hey, here's their table, go meet with them. But like, I asked the venture capital firm representative, how do you invest? What kind of firms are you interested in? And oh, by the way, here's the list of companies that are participating. Let me know which ones are your are on your A list and your B list and which ones you don't want to meet. And I do the same with the companies too, because they have their own thoughts and opinions when it comes to the VCs that they want to meet. And so I take all that, and I would love to say that I plug it into an algorithm and it spits out a bunch of meetings, but I haven't figured that part out yet. But so I do it manually. But every year, you know, we'll have between 150 and 200 meetings that take place at VC speed dating. We do it in a half day. The last couple of years, like everything else, we've had to go to a virtual format. So again, shout out to a high alpha company called Philo. We've been using their format to do VC speed dating virtually. It uses Zoom licenses and creates meeting rooms, but super excited to get back to doing it in person. So we're, you know, we haven't nailed down the dates yet, but fingers crossed that we'll do a virtual event again in, let's say, the spring or summer, and then in the fall of 2022 in person at Indianapolis. Again, if you're a venture capital firm and you are interested in that event, please contact me. I'd love to talk to you about that and get you connected to the Indiana tech ecosystem.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love kind of the analogy to speed dating as it pertains to venture capital and kind of building those relationships, mostly just because, you know, even if you're not raising money yet, you should be trying to have relationships with those venture capital firms. And somebody that would be able to speak on that is Evan. So Evan is currently in the middle of fundraising for his startup Simba right now. And I almost call it like not an unfair advantage, but definitely an advantage that he realized early through doing Middle Tech. We got to talk with all of these ecosystem supporters and venture capital firms. He was building a relationship. Now, when it was time for him to be a founder, went out and did that. So thinking of it as like speed dating and getting to know, you know, it doesn't have to lead to an investment, but on down the road,
absolutely,
I think that's just a wonderful setup to have. And then that makes me laugh when you were talking about company hunting, you know, when we were on that initial call and we were telling, you know, about Evan's startup Simba and about the startup I'm at, and you're like, well, you guys have any interest in coming to Indy? I love that. I love that. That's exactly what you should be doing. I think that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I love what I get to do. I feel like I'm always on, like I'm always doing my job, you know? So if I talk to you and you have a startup technology company and it's not in the state of Indiana, then I, you know, hey, kudos to you. I'm sure your place is great too, but I definitely want to tell you about my state and the incentives that we have. So yeah. You're right on with regards to the speed dating analogy. You know, it never happens. Surprise that a venture capital firm, like they bring a check or a term sheet and they meet someone at VC speed dating for an 18 minute long meeting and decide, we're going to invest. Here's $1 million, right? I mean, that's not going to happen. You're going to meet, I've heard different numbers, but you'll talk to 25 venture capital firms till you get one yes. And that's not 18 minute meetings like in speed dating. That's probably hour long meetings or more, right, where you're really going to dig in. So it takes a lot of time, a lot of networking. While I do agree, I would always take the meetings regardless of where you are when you're raising. I do have a number of founders that will purposely shut the door and say like, nope, during this time period, I'm going to stay heads down, focused on, you know, whatever it is that we're doing, you know, latest version of our software launch or whatever, and just not take any of those meetings. So I think there's probably two schools of thought to that. I tend to say, take every meeting because you're really not digging into your financials. You're probably just getting to know each other so that when it's time to raise, there's one more person, you know, that you can talk to.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes to fundraising, like you just have to know where your priorities are. If you're a founder, you know, if you're fundraising, it takes up almost all of your time.
Right.
So I think it's just kind of prioritizing what you want to be looking at. But let's move on to these kind of last two components that you guys focus on. So I'll let you pick the third one and that you want to talk about and dive into that.
Yeah. So the two that we have left would be connections and promotion. Connections, again, like I said earlier, if I have one superpower, it's just being a connector, being able to connect individuals, organizations. So if you are in our tech ecosystem or you're interested in our tech ecosystem, you know, like if you're a company hunting company that you're kind of in our pipeline and we're talking to you and, you know, whatever it is that you do, man, it sure would be great if you could have a meeting with Cummins or Raytheon or Rolls-Royce or Salesforce or whatever. We know those people. Some of them are members of TechPoint. Others are just folks that we've gotten to know from trying to get to know everyone in our universe over the last 5 years. So if I can help make meaningful connections to help you grow along the way, then I want to do that. Because, and if you think about all these different things that we do, talent, capital, connections, promotion, they're all designed to grow the ecosystem so that everybody wins. We, you know, I mentioned TechPoint has a membership model. This will sound kind of bizarre, maybe not, I don't know. But when I talk to someone about being a member, like a company, about being a member of TechPoint, I say that it's philanthropic first. You want to be a member of what we're doing because you believe in the work that we're doing. You know, I just spent 15 minutes explaining our talent program, an extern to you. And if I can get you excited about that, real excitement, not fake excitement, because you know it's a good thing, then If membership makes sense to you, then it just makes sense. And so you join because you believe in the work that we're doing. And then we come along beside you throughout the year. We're not going to just say, hey, thanks for the check. See you next year. We want to work with our member companies. But we want to work with everyone because we know that when there is success, it just helps the entire ecosystem grow. And I know that I say the word ecosystem way too often, so feel free to count how many times I say it in this podcast. I apologize in advance. So that's connections, really. It could be connecting someone to a potential business partner, customer, some sort of strategic relationship that's going to help them to grow. And then on the promotion side, so there's actually a couple of different pieces there. So we've got techpoint.org. That's just about us and what we do. But then there's the index. So if you go to techpoint.org and you click on the index, and you all should do that, and you should all sign up for our emails and everything else. But the index is, it's sort of like TechCrunch, but it's focused on the state of Indiana. So think of it as third-party validation for the things that technology companies are doing in the state of Indiana. So we're going to talk about not just our member companies, but all the technology companies that are here, the things that are newsworthy, big news. And speaking of big news, I know this is kind of timely, but today, one of our Indiana technology companies, Formstack, based in Fishers, just on the northeast side of Indianapolis, raised $425 million. That is like almost... it's more than three times the largest raise by a tech company in the state of Indiana. And just this year, we've had Greenlight Guru, $120 million, and Onboard, $100 million. So this is going to be like one of the biggest years we've ever had with regards to investment into tech companies, VC investment into tech companies. And so that's the kind of thing that we want to talk about. And we want to talk about those companies and what they're doing on the TechPoint Index. The other piece is getting that news and information out to the rest of the world. So we have, I know you talked to Cheryl on our team. She's our media relations manager. Talk about someone that knows everyone, just with regards to media, right? She knows everyone. And the local, regional media, even national media, really lean in on her and her expertise and her connections when it comes to tech news. So those are areas where we can help grow the ecosystem. Members have something exciting that's going on. We want to get the word out.
I love talking to the kinds of organizations like TechPoint and like the Nashville Technology Council, because I just see so much of what Middle Tech's trying to do. And I see so many ways to complement what you guys are trying to do and trying to play that kind of connective tissue between, you know, rather than doing it only on a state level, we're also trying to do it between like Nashville, Indy, Kentucky, Columbus, Cincinnati, and be kind of this regional hub for that. And it really does. It just gets me so excited to hear about the work you guys are doing, because we're so aligned in the ways that we see needing to grow this region of the United States. Because for a long time, it was looked at as you went to Silicon Valley or you went to New York, right. You went to Chicago to grow those companies. But now it's incredible what's going on in this area. And to be able to hear about the role that you guys are playing, it's really inspiring. It's really exciting. And I know, I feel like we talked about all the great things, which is, you know, what we should be doing on this podcast, but just to shed some light for these other ecosystems, what are some things that are struggles that you guys have encountered or you kind of bumps in the road as you've built the ecosystem and built the organization?
Yeah, well, you know, like anyone, I think today we realize some of the disparities that diverse founders have when it comes to raising money, capital. You know, I've made this comment quite a few times. I'm not a founder today, but if I decided like, okay, I've got the idea for Rajco, whatever you want to call it, I could probably pretty easily come up with, I want, you know, $100,000, maybe more from friends, family, people that I know. I've got a lot of connections in the tech industry to help get things started, you know, that people would believe in me and what I do. And I might do a horrible job at it, but I could still, you know, probably come up with the money. And yet we just have so many founders, you know, African-American community in particular, that they don't have that, you know, multi-generational wealth access like we do. And there's still a stigma, unfortunately, that they're going to get from institutional investors. It's interesting, like how many more questions they'll get asked compared to someone else who's trying to raise to do the same kind of thing. You know, like, did you dot all your I's? Did you cross all your T's? And these aren't questions that we might ask a white founder. So, right. You know, and I feel like, you know, we share that, we have the same problem that I think other areas have, and that Black founders and female founders in particular just aren't getting as many looks. And so we see that as something that we want to do something about. We're certainly tracking it and trying to help as much as we can. I'm very sensitive to that. So I think that's an area where we suffer. You know, Indy has become, I mentioned, you know, I think we're one of the, Indiana is probably one of the leading MarTech cities in the U.S., us in Atlanta, and then certainly the Bay Area. I'm probably missing somebody. But we're really seen as a B2B SaaS town. That's not necessarily a bad thing. If you're an investor, that's exactly what most investors, most venture capital firms are looking for. It's a low cost entry to get into those companies, and turnaround's usually pretty quick, and you can invest in a lot of them and get a good turnaround. But what about the other part of tech, you know? So we look back at the history of Indianapolis area, like everything started about 8 years ago when Exact Target was acquired by Salesforce for $2.5 billion. Well, that was huge, and the impact continues to be huge. And I'm super thankful that that happened, because it's just created this serial entrepreneurialism that continues today, that the Exact Target founders, the Salesforce, really planting a flag in Indianapolis and making it their hub or their headquarters for Marketing Cloud. The tallest building in the state of Indiana has a tech company name on it and not a bank or an insurance company. And no offense to banks or insurance companies, but I think that's pretty cool when you drive into our city and you see that. But when you live in a town that has a reputation for B2B SaaS, what about everyone else? Those companies that are doing, you know, hardware or deep tech and ag tech, you know, are those companies getting attention as well? So I think that's an area where we have where we can improve. I should mention too that TechPoint, we are one of six initiatives of a bigger organization called CICP, which is Central Indiana Corporate Partnership, and CICP. They really are trying to cover the entire gamut in terms of areas of the economy where we feel like we can have the most impact. So there's TechPoint, and we're just like all things tech, but there's also ESN, which is Energy Systems Network. So they focus on like alternative energy, batteries, mobility. They did a really cool event last month where they raced Indy cars, but they were driverless. So, you know, it was called the Autonomous Challenge.
I saw that. Crazy.
Yeah. like cars going like 170 miles an hour down the straightaway of IMS that don't have a driver. That's kind of scary if you think about what turn one looks like. But anyway, so Energy Systems Network, Kinexus, they focus on logistics, advanced manufacturing, even some defense and aerospace. And then Ascend, which is, they're more like just job focused in general. So they create talent pipelines for lots of different types of industries. And then Agrinovis, which is ag business, ag tech, and then BioCrossroads, which is life sciences. Mm-hmm. So CICP has all these different initiatives that allow us to kind of focus on the economy as a whole. But even then, we're still missing out on like hard tech and deep tech. And so there have been some great advances in the last few years. I'll give a shout out to the Heritage Group, which is a private company in Indianapolis. They have a venture arm called HG Ventures, and they spun up a Techstars accelerator. They paid for it to focus on different types of like deep tech hardware that focuses kind of on what they do, which is in the construction materials arena. So, you know, we're seeing growth and that's significant. And I guess as long as I'm talking about Techstars, we do have a Techstars in Indy that focuses on sports tech as well. So, nice. You know, in the time that I've been at TechPoint, which is about 5 years, we went from having like no accelerators to three or four, and I think more coming. So that's another sign of a healthy tech ecosystem. And I can talk about this all day, as you've probably figured out.
Me too, for sure. And I really think I like that question. That was one of the first times we've asked, like, what do you struggle with? And I really appreciate kind of the openness around the diversity problem in ecosystems, because I promise you that's not something that just Indianapolis is struggling with. That's something we're really hearing a lot in our ecosystem as well, is, you know, we need more female founders, we need more Black founders, we need, you know, all of that. And it's one of those things that I think everyone wants to solve. And I think the first step of that is just acknowledging the problem that's there. And it's definitely being acknowledged, it's being tracked. So, you know, as we do this podcast and talk to more of these people, I think that's something I definitely want to take away from this is, you know, everyone's going to have kind of a different approach to this, and everyone's going to have kind of a different perspective on the how to solve it. So I think hopefully our role in this can be, one, finding more of those people to have on this podcast, but two, just hearing how other people are approaching that. So I think that was definitely an excellent answer there.
We need to be humble and we need to listen. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Totally agree. One of the things that you kind of hit on as you were talking there was, and we've hit on several times in this conversation, is Salesforce's acquisition of ExactTarget, which is obviously a huge catalyst in the Indianapolis ecosystem. So talk a little bit about, you know, what the cause and effect of that was for the ecosystem. How did it evolve after that went down?
Yeah. So, wow. So much, you know, most of those founders, have now, I think quite a few of them ended up starting High Alpha. So High Alpha is venture capital firm. So they got High Alpha Capital and then, a VC studio. And it seems like everybody's crazy for VC studios now. I think they're popping up everywhere, but I really think High Alpha created the mold in terms of how to do it correctly. So a lot of those founders then, when they started High Alpha, the venture studio, and they raised this money, I think first they probably pulled a few existing companies into it and tried to help them along the way. But from then on, it's been all about creating companies from within High Alpha. And I believe there are over 30 companies now that they have launched. The good news for Indiana is that most of those are Indiana-based technology companies. But, you know, there are companies that are in New York and Chicago, all over the place. And then High Alpha Capital is, they can invest anywhere they want. So certainly they'll invest in their own companies, but they'll also invest all over the place. I believe they've invested even overseas. I think today they announced that they invested in they led a $10 million round in a Chicago company. So, you know, so you've got that part of it, of Salesforce and ExactTarget. And then you just got all of those executives that have, you know, some of them just what they've done to be able to stay at Salesforce and to continue to grow those efforts. And, you know, that company's doing a lot of good you know, it's kind of like cream of the crop to work for Salesforce. And that's only going to help you in your next stage, wherever it is that you're going to go. And then all those people that are going to other companies where they're helping other companies grow, or what we see a lot is those exact target folks, Salesforce folks that are starting their own companies just over and yep. over again, you know, second, third, fourth company. And so, you know, that's just been, I think, that the biggest impact that we've seen from Salesforce exact target is serial entrepreneurism. And I can say that, you know, myself, because I worked for a completely different group of folks that were serial entrepreneurs that are now in their, I don't know, fourth or fifth company. So those same folks I was talking about that took analog surveillance cameras and IP surveillance cameras and brought them into a system. They sold that company. They waited for their do not competes to be over. They went and started another company called Cumulex with a Q. I think they're raising, if anyone's interested, they're friends of mine. But and so they're taking that to the next level, and they're adding another component to it with bringing access control and making it available on the cloud. And they just keep doing this. And then they keep bringing people alongside them that get in early, people like me. And, you know, I got in, I got a taste of it. I didn't go become a founder, but I got a passion for tech and for startups and scale ups. And I want to help other people be able to make those connections as well. And others within, you know, my tech tree, if you will, have gone on to start other companies. So that's the biggest impact. It's not just High Alpha. Again, love High Alpha and love what Salesforce and Exact Target have done, but there are lots of other tech trees in the area. Like Software Artistry is another one that comes to mind, where we've had serial entrepreneurs go and start other companies. I could probably name a few more, but I'll spare you the details.
No, I think you painted a perfect picture of how important or just how significant it is for an acquisition like that to happen in an ecosystem, just because of the waterfall effects that it has on the talent, on the capital, on the companies that are being started in an ecosystem. And that's just a huge compounding effect. And, you know, even though we haven't had something quite that large in the Kentucky ecosystem, you can point to a couple of different startups that have hired a bunch of young people, raised some venture capital, had a considerable amount of success. And then those young people go out and start their own companies and go and work at other startups to help grow them. And I think a perfect example of that is a company called Fuji in town. Fuji got up to 66 employees, hired a bunch of college kids, raised about $4 million in venture capital. And then after they had to let some of those people go, those people went off. Evan was one of them, went and started Simba, started Middle Tech. The company I'm at has 3 or 4 of the developers that were at that company. So even if it's not a huge acquisition, those types of events are very significant to an ecosystem.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a good point too, is that, you know, what's a successful outcome for a technology company? You know, I think if you would have asked that question, I don't know, 10 or 15 years ago, it would have been IPO. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's success. You get on the stock ticker. That's still great. We need more of those. But still, the question, what's a successful outcome or exit for a company? And, you know, it's not unicorn. Again, that's great. If you can get those, you want those, especially if you're an investor. But it's creating great jobs for people, technology jobs. That's just going to help people for, if they stay there, great. But they go to their next company, that they're going to be able to bring that to the next company. And it's infectious. And really, It's those companies that grow and hit about, you know, 50, 60 people and continue to grow, that the forecasters who are looking at the economy are looking at and saying, that's the future. You know, it's not these gigantic companies that exist today. Those are great. But it's these companies, these technology companies, that are going to just continue to grow, you know, 50 people one year, 80 the next, 100, 150. Those are all high quality jobs that, again, if you get that serial entrepreneurialism going over and over again. So let's say that company folds or something happens, or they have to eliminate a bunch of people. Just like you said, you know, with your example with Fuji, those people are going to go on somewhere else. They're going to contribute. They're going to get the entrepreneur bug themselves. They're going to start companies. And that's just healthy.
Yep, absolutely. Well, as we wrap up this conversation, we always like to end on kind of a forward-looking statement, whether it's the company that we're talking to, the founder we're talking to, or whether, in this case, it's the ecosystem that we're discussing. So tell us a little bit about what you hope to see for the future of the Indianapolis tech ecosystem.
Well, I think I maybe referred to it a little bit earlier, but I'd love to see more growth in all of the areas. Yes, I want to see B2B SaaS continue to be a thing because it's healthy. But I want to see the other areas of tech succeed as well. You know, I get to work with some other really cool companies that are doing neat things and that are related to hardware or connectivity or, you know, IoT. And then I want to see those companies succeed, those sectors succeed. I referred earlier to diversity, and I want to see more Black founders, more women founders. We are doing things in the state to help. It's not a state thing, but we spun up a venture capital firm called 68 Capital. Kelly Jones is running that. It's affiliated with Allos Ventures, which is based in Indianapolis, also has a Cincinnati office that is purposefully investing in diverse founders. They've made a few investments already. I want to see more of that. I also just want to see more venture capital firms. And so I'm excited to say that, you know, that in the last, I don't know, couple of months, I've met some folks that have started new venture capital firms or are starting them. That's exciting. Indiana, I think, was kind of smart a few years ago. I think we've been kind of smart for more than a few years, and we actually, TechPoint helped to do this. Our CEO, Michael Angelier, we had $500 million sitting in this fund, and it was created by the toll roads system that we have mostly in Northern Indiana. They were privatized. And I think that money was just put into like index funds or something like that, where it could be kind of safe and make some money. Well, we and whoever else convinced the governor to split that in half, take $250 million and let the state invest into venture capital funds like an LP. And so it's called the Next Level Fund. And the state's already invested in, I don't know, I think there's, if you go and you look on their list, there's like maybe 10 or more venture capital firms that they've invested in, you know, some in-state, some out-of-state. But the idea, they're investing in those companies, those firms that are making Indiana investments. So I will say, if you're looking to raise if you're raising capital, raising a fund, if you're active in the state of Indiana or you're going to be active in the state of Indiana, I would reach out to the folks at the Next Level Fund. It's run by a company out of Chicago, but you can go to, I think you can look them up online. But so yeah, just to see more venture capital firms grow here, we need more funds that are local, because I know companies like to have someone when they touch the ground. If they're going to move a company here, they would love to have an investor here. And I want to be able to offer that up to them more often. So yeah, I think those are the areas where I would love to see the most growth.
I love it. Well, I'm sure we could sit here for another hour and continue to talk about all of this awesome stuff. It's what I love to do as well. Before I let you go, we always like to give our guests an opportunity to tell us where we can learn more about the organization, connect with them. So if you want to give a plug for the TechPoint website or your personal contact info, please do so.
Yeah. So yeah, go to techpoint.org. And I highly encourage you to, when you click on that index, you'll probably get prompted, do you want to subscribe to the index? Subscribe to the index. You should do that. If you're an Indiana company and you are hiring tech jobs, even like marketing jobs, sales jobs, anything that's, you know, tech adjacent, tech forward, you should be posting your jobs on the TechPoint job board. It doesn't cost you anything. You should post those jobs. If you're an Indiana technology company and you don't know me, you should get to know me. I'm on LinkedIn, easy to look up, Roger Schumann, S-H-U-M-A-N. I've been doing this goofy thing for a few years where I'll wear technology swag, mostly started with t-shirts, and post it on LinkedIn. But again, it just allows me to continue to make connections and to be a champion for the Indiana tech ecosystem.